What's up? Welcome to episode 238 of the PS4 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy's not available. He is currently snowboarding. So
I want to go snowboarding.
He won't be able to discuss his time with Resident Evil 7 or have his long-awaited spoiler talk with Zaya about FF15. unless he started a separate text string, and then he's probably got to go on there and figure out all the information he needs to figure out, so he should be
we
good.
We did a little bit.
Yeah, I figured. So, not a lot of news. There is some stuff. As far as new releases go this week, the big things would have been, I believe Tales of Berseria came out this week. It was either Friday or this week for sure. Last Friday, rather. Resident Evil 7 also came out. So there's that. And it's reviewing really well. People are loving Resident Evil 7. So I definitely picked it up. I'm currently playing it. I'm not that far. I'll talk about it eventually once we get there. But that is one of the biggest releases of the week. And then as far as news goes, one of the big things was that Square Enix and Marvel announced that they have a multi-game partnership, starting with an Avengers game made by the Tomb Raider developer Crystal Dynamics, mm-hmm. and a Deus Ex developer Eidos Montreal, due to release in 2018. That's a bit ways out, and it's interesting. I'm curious to see, because there haven't really been any good Marvel games. Usually DC's got the good video game franchises. Mainly because Rocksteady.
Yeah.
And then we have the, you know, the, what's the Batman one from Telltale?
The Arkham story one or whatever.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do and what kind of games they are, because then people start wondering, well, what about the Spider-Man game from Insomniac? And then they realize that's separate, that's not involved in their thing at all. So,
mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, because Spider-Man is still primarily owned by Sony. They just have shared their movie rights with Marvel and have that worked out. So Sony can still do anything with Spider-Man, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, I didn't play the Arkham games, and I've never played any superhero game beforehand, just because if I played any of them, I would have probably played one of the Spider-Man games, just because swinging around a city seems like it'd be kind of fun. And the one from Insomniac looks like it could be pretty good. I mean, with what they did with the parkour stuff in, totally blanking on the name right now, the Xbox game, Sunset Overdrive. If, you know, that looked like it was a lot of fun. So I'm sure they could do something really good with Spider-Man. And I like playing stuff like Infamous Second Son, which is a superhero game. So I could see possibly playing the Spider-Man game from them. Traversal is pretty fun to do, but I'm not like, oh yeah, it's Spider-Man. Like that aspect of it just doesn't appeal to me. But we'll see what happens. So I'll be curious to see how this video game stuff goes. And I'm wondering, like, since Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal are working on it, does that mean it's only part of each of the teams are coming together? So that way Crystal Dynamics can still work on their next Tomb Raider, or Eidos Montreal can work on the next Deus Ex or whatever they're going to do. Like, I'm wondering, because they have more Deus Ex DLC coming out in February. That got announced as well. So I'm wondering, it's like, okay, are they just going to be doing little stories for Deus Ex? Which would be awesome if they did. Like, it was just, oh, continuous little stories. I would totally keep paying for those. So I'm wondering how this is going to affect development for the other stuff, but
yeah, I was wondering if they would do like one studio works on like this little part of it, and then the other studio works on this little part of it, so that it's not like the two studios combined together working on the major part of the game. They still have like time and resources to do their own projects,
right? Yeah, like Crystal Dynamics, you know, they're really good at that open world traversal and crafting, so they create like that aspect of a game, and then Eidos Montreal does like the, you know, multi-route paths you can do, and maybe hacking, or, you know, who knows, all that stuff they learn from Deus Ex, and they could implement their strengths in that area of the game.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting if you have a game that's like, because I mean, if you look at like Tomb Raider, it's got really good open worlds and just the whole Metroid style of things, where the Metroidvania, where you have to go collect stuff to go back to explore new areas of it, and you can craft and all that jazz. Like, if they're really good at that, and then if you take in, like, Iris Montreal and the stuff they're really good at, and just combine them together. But who knows? We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Kind of exciting.
Yep. Let's see what else we got. There was a bunch... Not a bunch. Actually, there was only, like, three groups that went to go see Hideo Kojima's studio in Japan. I think it was IGN and the BBC and another group. But I think IGN was the only actual game outlet that got to go there. And they were describing, like, going into his studio and how, like, you go through this long-ass white light tile hallway and it has the, like, 6-foot Luden statue in the middle of it, and it's just, like, this whole sterile environment to get to their studios. And Kojima was describing it as, well, I want it to be, like a womb. Like, it's cleansing you of the world outside and you're passing through it into this studio. And they kind of talked about how the way he has his studio set up is very much like a Western studio, like a Naughty Dog or Santa Monica, where it's just, you know, the half cubicles, essentially, so you could see everybody and you can talk to anybody. And Kojima is very talking about how, like, he's all for communication. Like, if someone wants to talk to someone, they should be able to talk to that person and not have any sort of anything getting in the way of that. He wants the freedom to be able to discuss that, which makes sense, especially with what we heard about what happened with him at the end of Metal Gear 5's production.
Yeah.
He also addressed his time with Konami, but it was I'll just read his quote here. So there's his quote talking about it, saying, "The me that stands here now is the product of the past 53 years of my life. Everything I experienced over 53 years, movies I've seen, books I've read, music I've listened to, games I've played, people I've met, and the 30 years spent in the industry have formed who I am." So it's very diplomatic. Like obviously not all that time there at Konami could have been bad. It's just, it seems like the last bit of it is. But yeah, he, you know, it says, it goes on to say, "I'm embarking on a new challenge with a fresh slate, but I intend to keep pushing the creative envelope until the day I die. I believe my experience over the past 53 years won't lead me astray." It's funny when I read his comments, because he's very, like, you know, he's not going the Guillermo del Toro route, which makes you realize that del Toro is basically his Luther, his anger translator. And like Kojima's like, you know, "Everything I've experienced in the past 53 years has shaped who I am." And Del Toro's like, "Fuck Konami." Like, that's what he's saying. So, but that's pretty funny. But yeah, it's good to see that he's in good spirits, though. And yeah, just keep poaching people from Konami, bringing onto your team is good stuff, because I think that's pretty funny. But you can see there's a video on IGN you can watch that shows the studio. I haven't watched the entire thing. Daddy, give you kind of look at it. And what else we have? Oh, we got a new trailer for Prey, which also gave it a release date of May 5th. So Cinco de Mayo. But it looks like I have a birthday game that I can play. Granted, it comes out the week prior, but May 5th is a Friday, which is an interesting day to release a game. Didn't Doom released on a Friday?
It seems like more and more stuff is breaking off of that Tuesday release thing.
Yeah, it seems kind of like it. I mean, I don't really care either way if a game comes out on a Tuesday or Friday. Mm-hmm. I mean, Battlefield 1 came out on, had a Friday release as well, but if you pre-ordered it, you got it 3 days early. That to me just seemed like a thing, like it could have come out on Tuesday because that's when the 3 days early was, and then just have it be a little earlier. So it was interesting that they like pushed it to give this early access thing, but I don't know. Yeah, I look forward to that. The game looks interesting, and it's just adding more stuff to the list for how great the first half of this year is looking. But yeah, let's see. I think that's it for news. I'm trying to think of what else there was, because it wasn't a bunch. It was all just like we talked about, the release date for the Deus Ex DLC is, let me open up the date here. It's February 23rd is the release date for the next DLC called A Criminal Past. apparently you will be... It takes place before the events of Mankind Divided and see Adam Jensen infiltrate a high-security prison for augmented felons. His first mission for the TF-29. So, it's weird that all their artwork for it is in that anime style. It, like, throws me way off. I'm like, it's so weird that you do that, but I don't know. It makes me want, like, an anime in Deus Ex universe, but... yeah, I think that's basically it, because everything else is just collectibles from Resident Evil 7 and first couple minutes of 7 and Tales of Berseria. Tales of Berseria, I'm kind of interested in it. The last Tales game I played was Symphonia on GameCube, but I never beat it. It didn't quite pull me in. I really bought it. I was like, oh, anime cutscenes, that's awesome. And then I played it, and I was like, yeah, it was fun, but it was like so few and far between the cutscenes. And mm-hmm. I kind of got burnt out on a bit. Plus, I primarily played on PS2. But yeah, Tales of Berseria seems interesting. But I don't know if I have that much time to invest into a long game like that. Especially with Horizon coming out in February, and I'll be playing that a bunch.
And you still need to play 15?
Right, and I still need to play 15, and it's like, I got Resident Evil 7, I gotta play that, then I'll have Deus Ex DLC in February, there's Dark Souls DLC in March, and then there's Ghost Recon Wildlands in March, and it's just like, and then I don't know about Mass Effect, I'm really on the fence about it, because I'm kind of waiting to see on that one. Mm-hmm. You'll see. I like a quote from Guillermo del Toro about his role in Death Stranding, how he was saying like how he's just a piece of clay and he's in the hands of Kojima to mold him however he wants. And I was like, oh man, it's like, does that mean that Kojima could be a piece of clay if you do Hellboy 3 and he could be like a somewhere in there as an Easter egg? Like, that'd be awesome. But yeah, who knows.
He was teasing about Hellboy 3 on Twitter the other day, and I was like, stop talking and make it!
I know, he's been doing a lot. And then, it's like, if you're gonna make it, man, you gotta do it soon, because who knows, you know. I don't know, I know Ron Perlman, I don't know if he's having a lot of free time. He did that show on, I think it was Amazon. They had that season come out. I don't know if he's still working on that. And, you know, if you wait too long, I don't know if he'll feel like he's too old to do the role or something. But... we'll see. Yeah, it looks like that's it for the news. I don't see much else in the way of I know Tekken 7 got delayed, but it has a new release date. So let's see, it got on June 2nd will be the release date for now. So there's that. And then yeah, I think that's basically it. Not much else. I mean, just Yakuza stuff, and that's it. Yeah, not a lot. It's all stuff about Resident Evil 7, like how to take out, you know, bosses or find collectibles and all that jazz, so not much. There was a Sniper Elite 4 gameplay, about 25 minutes of it shown. I'm looking forward to that. I think that comes out in the beginning of March.
I can't wait to play Sniper Elite. Games in May and March.
I know. It's like, there's a couple of things in February too, but I can't recall. I have to look at that. I'm going to bring up that list again. Video games in 2017. Someone had a list. I think it was VG247 had a list.
My brain is just so focused on Zelda. I just need it to be here now.
Yeah.
Because that's all I can think about.
Yeah, there's...
And the new patch for 14. That's going to be... probably in March.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so we're ending January with Resident Evil 7, Yakuza 0, Tales of Berseria, and then Hitman, the complete first season. We talked about that, comes out on the 31st. And then February is, of course, Neo on the 9th. And I'm interested in Neo, but I'm waiting to see. I also don't know if I want to go into a Dark Souls thing, because the new DLC is going to come out. I still haven't played the other DLC, but once the new one comes out, I'm going to play them back to back with my cousin. And then Sniper Elite 4 is the 14th. Horizon on the 28th, of course, and then of course March is the Switch, and then Ghost Recon Wildlands on the 7th, Mass Effect on the 21st. Man, it's just like there's just too much. Oh well.
Oh well.
Just do what we can, right? But all right. Well, I guess we can move on from the news then. Have you been playing anything new?
I played one of the games that got for free in December, I think.
For or maybe PS it Plus?
Was, yeah, for PS Plus. December or this? No, I don't think I liked the games for this month. I played Stories.
Stories. Which one was that?
It's kind of, it looks like Bastion.
Hmm.
And it kind of plays like Bastion. And it's got the same, like, kind of, like, story style, where it kind of, like, narrates what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a, like, it's more goofy, and there's a lot of, like, pop culture references, which is weird. Like, these little, there's these little things that you can grapple onto, and I forgot what they were calling them before, because now I call them what the joke called them. But he just, the narrator just starts talking at one point, and he's like, the blah 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 wishes there were more of these little pylons around. He should construct more pylons. And I was like,
nice.
Did it just make a joke? What That's is? Fine. But it's like, it's meant to be played multiple times through the story, because you get, you make choices throughout the story, but the first time you play through it, you're probably going to make all the wrong choices and then everybody dies, but you kind of like learn every time you play it and then you start over. It's actually really, really good. I was really surprised how much I liked it. I played it for like 5 hours just randomly one day.
Interesting.
And I'm going to platinum it eventually, but I just need to get off of 14 and go back and play it. But it's really good. But
I guess I never did add that one to my list. Yeah, because the last Plus game I got was that This War of Mine, which I had a lot of fun with. Haven't played it since I beat the first, or survived the first set, but I need to go back and survive with the other configuration of characters and randomized locations. But that game has a bug, and I realized what it was, where I guess if you quit while you are, like, force quit, while you're in the middle of a scavenging mission, it will glitch that area to where when you load back into the game, it's kind of, people use it to cheese, so you can cheese the game as well. So, like, if you're playing through and your character gets killed, before it says, you know, you died, and it default ends the night, if you force quit, like, pause and force quit, you can reload it back to the day before that scavenge, so early in the day. And if you do that, it locks that area with this bug. I don't think on purpose, it's just an accident, like some mistake, and then you can't go back to it. So the first time I had cheesed the game once, I was like, I was testing to see, I was like, I wonder if I could cheese it. And that's how I found out about that you can. And then the other times was just like, I pause and I was in a bad situation, and I needed to get out because I was playing, gonna go over to play Battlefield, but I couldn't just leave from where I was because there's a lot of, like, not soldiers, but like these, anyways, they're bad guys. And I didn't have any weapons with me because I just went to go scavenge, because when I had gone to that place prior, there wasn't anybody there. But then there are people there now. So, and I kind of was sneaking my way through, and I usually like to sneak and try to stay out of their path and then escape. But where I was, it would have taken me too long to get out. So I was like, ah, screw it. So I just quit. But I didn't, I hadn't realized about the glitch thing previously when I had done it. Because I had come back to that area before I ended up going someplace else. And then so I had two places blocked out on me. And then I was like, damn it. So I was like, and they were two really good places. Like, one, the first place I had quit, or the second place I, was it the second place? I'm trying to think where it happened now. Because I had one where it glitched out on me. Oh, I had a third time I had quit. but the same thing. It was just like, I was just done with the game. And, but it wasn't even in a place that you would cheese. It was just, there's this market you can go to and you can trade and exchange items. And, I think what it was, oh, I know what it was. I went there and I wanted to see how much they were going to give me for particular items. So I went there with, I went there with a character who didn't have, so there's this one woman you can get who has bargaining skill and it gives you just slightly more stuff for whatever you're trading. And I had accidentally chose someone else who didn't have that, also had less backpack space. And so, because I hit a button too quick and, because it default chooses who's going to go out on these scavenge missions. You have to manually operate your people and figure out who's going to sleep, who's going to be on guard, and then who you're going to go scavenge with, if you're going to go scavenge. And so it mistakenly chose the wrong person because I hit a button too fast. And I was like, no, I don't want that. So I quit because I wanted to play with the woman so I can get better deals and carry more stuff. But not thinking about it. So then when I went back, it hard locked the that area out of me. And I was like, damn it. So then I fucked up. And that was like early on in the, like about halfway through the amount of days I had to survive. So that fucked me up. And it's like, anytime I scavenge anything else, I can't trade it with anybody. Luckily, there's this one guy who comes by your place like every 3 days almost. So I could trade with him. He doesn't have nearly as much stuff as these other people. So I still have to scavenge out for like medical supplies and stuff like that. But that was amazing. Now that I know that, I won't be quitting the game just to end it. Or because I didn't cheese it anymore after that first time and I realized I made a mistake. I was like, this is a problem. Because I looked it up and people were like, yeah, if you cheese it, I guess it's been around for a while. But yeah, so just be careful. Don't quit the game thinking, oh, I'm going to go play something else because it'll fuck you up. But I have it on my phone, but I just like playing on my phone is not the same as on my PS4. So like, and I wish the saves were like in a cloud. That'd be nice. But yeah, I do like the game. I just need to, since other stuff's come out, I haven't hopped back in and played. Then I played, of course, still playing Battlefield. Oh, the other bit of news is that they announced they showed a new map for Rainbow Six Siege, and then they teased a new operator who they'll be showing on the finals of the 6th Invitational, which I believe is the 2nd and 3rd of February. So they'll reveal the new operator. He's an attacker, and then they'll probably show the defender at some point as well. So the next set of operators that will be coming out, I look forward to that, because I hopped back into Rainbow Six Siege the other day, because typically I've been playing Battlefield 1 primarily, but that game's still fun, so I look forward to having new content in there. And then aside from Battlefield 1, I've been playing, I picked up Resident Evil 7, playing a bit of that. I won't go into any spoilers, but there, I am going into spoilers for the first, I don't consider the first actual boss fight after the transition. So the transition from, so spoilers for Resident Evil 7, the transition from the essentially the demo location to the proper location, I suppose. So there is a boss fight you do in a garage. And since Achievement Hunter is doing their Let's Play series, as I kind of scrub through and see, like, okay, where did they get to? Okay, they don't progress that far. So luckily, when I beat a certain section, I know I can go back and watch their stuff without spoiling it for me. So I like to go back and watch how they did stuff, because it's Jeff playing, and Jeff is ridiculous at scary games. and so I like to see how they react. So when I beat that first boss, I went back to watch how they did it. Now, when they did it, I don't know if you watched their Let's Play.
I haven't yet, but I've watched a lot of the game so far. So
okay, so you might have seen it how it went down for me and not how it went down for them. So anyways, in the boss fight, he immediately picks up the key and gets into the car. And then, or he gets into the car, he doesn't pick up the key. He gets in the car, then the guy gets into the car, and then he drives it around and crashes the car. The car catches on fire. He gets out, and then Jeff shoots him. And then it progresses to where he grabs you on the ladder, and then he shoots himself. Mm-hmm. For me, the first time I played him, I went around trying to, I was kind of Dark Souls-ing it. I was like, I didn't care if I died. I was kind of learning the fight, trying to figure out, okay, what, how is this game kind of structured? Like, I'm assuming this game won't be where, oh, everybody, you just shoot them and they die. There has to be a unique take on it. So I kind of was trying to figure out. So the first time I was doing it, I went in a circle, picking up some stuff and just shooting them in the head, wasting all my ammo. And then he got into the car by peeling the roof back, getting in, drive, doing the donuts in it. And I made him miss me and crash into the walls a couple times, and nothing happened. And then he ended up hitting me, and I got killed. So I went back into it. I found the car key, grabbed it immediately, got into the car, rammed into him like 4 times, just running him over. And eventually, he peeled the roof off, climbed in with me. He shoved his hand, one hand on my on the leg on the gas pedal, and the other hand on the steering wheel on my hand. And he started saying, he's like, we're going to have some fun. And he basically slams my foot on the gas and tries to crash the car into these. At one point when I hit him, these steel beams fell down. So he's trying to crash us into these steel beams, and I have no control. Like, he'll put it into reverse, and he puts it back into drive, and he forces you to. And then eventually you see these two steel beams down, and you're like, they're at head level. And I'm like, well, I'm kind of fucked. And he slams the car into him. The beams come through the front window. One smashes into his face. And then the other one, I guess my character ducked underneath. I didn't do anything. There was no prompt. It misses me. So I'm assuming my character dodged. And then I get out the car, I look at him, and he's in the car, and he's pinned down, and his face is just smashed by the beam. And then I walk away, and then the car sparks, goes up in flames, and then he comes out of it, and then the rest of the thing goes out. So it was weird seeing how it was different to where on his game, and he was playing on normal as well. He's not playing on easy. Jeff, an achievement hunter. Mm-hmm. So it was weird to see how that fight played out in two separate ways. I mean, it still had the same conclusion, but the way we got there was a little different. And that was kind of interesting. So it makes me wonder when I do other boss fights later to see if there's differ in any way as well. So I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, huh, there's like a different way to go about, or that this fight will play out. I mean, it still ends the same, but yeah, it was interesting, but
yeah, it's cool that it has like the same end, but there could be multiple means to that end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a cool feature.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. And right now I'm not too far. I'm at the part where I'm sure you've probably seen more than I've played, where right after you do that, you get the piece, you open the door, you go into the main like lobby area. The woman in the wheelchair is up in the top. Man, when I was playing the other night, you put the emblem into the door, or the piece into the door, you go into the main lobby area, and then the door closes behind me, which for some reason I assume meant I couldn't go back through it, even though the door was auto-closed anyways. So then I was like, okay, well, I picked up the pendulum from the clock. I was like, well, I know the other one needs something. And I was like, well, I guess I can't go back to it. I'll have to wait to figure out how to get back there. And then today, I just happened to go, you know, I'm going to see if I can just go back through this door. And I couldn't. I'm like, I don't know why the fuck I thought I couldn't go back through it. Like, it just seemed, because it closed so quickly, like the game was locking me in. Like, oh, you made it, but it's a one-way door for some reason. But, and I went back,
but
and was like,
you're trapped in here now, and you need to figure out a way to get back, or you just can't go back.
Right. Which obviously you have to go back, because when I went back to the clock, it gave me a piece that I need for a door. I was like, okay. And I found the other piece in a separate playthrough when I was screwing around, where this is how I found out the game auto-saved in certain parts, which annoyed me a bit, because when I saved the game, I was like, all right, I'm just going to save. Now I'm going to go screw around where I don't really care. And I'm kind of like, I go upstairs, and then I went into the hallway next to the lady in the wheelchair, and then I saw a woman outside with a lantern. I was like, oh, it's that lady. And then so I'm trying to shoot her through the lattice, but it doesn't go through. And I'm just going around like breaking boxes. I find the other piece that's in a book, and then I found the Maya tape. I was like, okay. And listen to podcasts, I heard kind of ruined for me too, a lot of people saying that the tapes aren't necessarily needed, but I know that if you watch them, A, it'll give you more story, and B, it can affect the present, depending on what you do. So I'm like, okay, so I have to watch his tape. So I started watching her tape before I explored the rest of the second floor. And then, you know, she's like running away from the woman, and I'm like I'm like, okay, I'm being pursued. So I just kind of run off, and then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to quit. So I just quit right there because I think I went to go, what did I go? I went to go do something. I don't know, play something else. And then I just quit in the middle of the tape. And then this morning when I logged in, it default started me in the middle of the tape. Like, it can quick save within the tapes, but it doesn't quick save in the main game. Like, the only time it quick saves in the main game is when it did the main transition from the starting point to the second area, because there's, you know, no save point. But I was like, damn it. I was like, because I wasted a ton of ammo just shooting around and stuff. Like, I saw, like, there's, like, a deer head, so I shot at it. And I was just trying to goof around, see if I could bait that lady with a lantern upstairs to get me. But she couldn't, so I have to go around and play more of it. It was funny. There's that one part in the beginning section from the demo where you're looking for your girlfriend after the first time you get her off you. And then you, like, come back around a corner, and there's, like, this alcove that has a doorway that's blocked up. And she jumps out from it and goes, boo! Ha ha, I scared you. And then she does that. And it scared me the first time because I wasn't expecting it, of course. But then, because the game doesn't autosave, when I quit, my save point was before that. But for some reason, I thought it was after. So I'm sitting there playing, and my kid's on my lap, and I think my girlfriend's home at the time. And so kid's watching, like, Rick and Morty. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm playing, got the headphones on. And then all of a sudden I get to that part, and she jumps out again, even though that I wasn't expecting, because I thought I was further along. I thought I was past that point. So she does it. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then, like, kind of hop, and I didn't scare the kid, but he, like, I shaked him in my lap because I bounced a bit. So it was really funny. Mm-hmm. It was like, I knew it was going to happen. Like, it already got me once, but because I thought I was further along, it got me a second time. But
kid's, like, in cartoon trance, and all of a sudden the world is shaking.
Yeah. It's like, oh, daddy just starts screaming.
What's happening?
Yeah, and then I was trying to think of what else. And then sneaking around the dude to get down the hatch, I did that pretty easily. And I know he can burst that wall because I keep seeing it in, like, the, like, trailers and demos of stuff way back in the day. I'd see it a bunch. But I'm assuming he only does it if he knows you're there. So anytime I go past that wall now, even though he's not around, I'm like, is this wall just going to break down? Like, I'm concerned, because any game traditionally where you make progress and then you backtrack will change stuff up. I mean, they've done that in the other Resident Evils. Like, in Resident 1, the dogs jump through the window after you've already been in that hallway. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you picked up a key. Like, I'm curious how much key items trigger events in the game. But, like, if you, like, there's a, like, if I pick up that dog head in the clock and then take it back, like, did that trigger something? Or if I find the dog head in the book, does that trigger something? Like, I'm assuming, obviously, it must. I haven't explored the rest of the upstairs, so I'm sure there's some shit's gonna go down. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. It's definitely fucking, it's creepy and scary. It's like, man, going through it, it's like, it's fucking, especially because the problem with headphones, I have surround sound on so I can hear shit. And, like, especially if someone's, once I get caught by a guy and then they're chasing me down and I'm running, it's like, I can hear him around the corner where he is. But then when there's no one around, but I have the headphones on and I'm listening, and then all of a sudden someone just, if they were to pop up behind me and be like, oh, I got you, son. And be like, oh, Jesus Christ. Cause then it's just super loud. Cause I'm super focused on the audio cues. And that's, like, the downside. Cause, like, Alien Isolation is, like, you know, that's just tense, but this is just scary. Like,
yeah.
But it's two different types of scares, and the perspective just fucking squeaky shit, but it's fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking I might be able to beat it this weekend. Probably not, though, because kids' birthday party's tomorrow, and then I don't know if I'll be able to get, how much I'll get through tonight, because I'll be playing through it super slow. But yeah, it's definitely a Resident Evil game.
It's really good. I'm glad they went this direction with Resident Evil again.
Yeah, I'm really curious how it all ties in. I mean, I have my theories on what's going on. Because, like, in the demo, there's a picture of a helicopter, and the helicopter has the umbrella logo on it.
Yep.
And then there's the phone calls you get, and you find out the person who's calling you, I forget her name, Zoe.
Zoe?
Yeah. And she's like, oh, it's my dad, and you got to get out of there. And there's a list you find in the first section from the demo that has like a bunch of people's names, and it's like turned, dead, 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 turned. And it's Clancy from the tape, and it says there's nothing there. So I'm assuming that Umbrella is monitoring this place that's infected by this new version of the virus, and they're seeing what effects it has. Like, it's some new strain of it. Because obviously it seems like the woman, Maya, she's can go in and out of it. So that's new. And then the dad is regenerative. So that's new. I mean, that's on the level of, like, Tyrant or Mr. X, I suppose.
Yeah, it's like advanced T-virus.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm curious if this house is just like, if maybe she, because he says like, or maybe I forget where I know about it, but like, I'm assuming someone there either works for Umbrella or someone knows them and gave it to him, like either through some secret method or straight up like, hey, you, look at this. Because there's a picture of them as a normal family. All over the place. So clearly this shit went down pretty recently. So it must be like either them trying to create a version of the virus that is controllable, kind of like Albert Wesker, you know, how he was able to control the virus. But I'm interested to see how much of it is there. And because the game doesn't pause when you're in the menus and stuff, whenever I find an article to read, I always kind of like look at it, but I don't read it right away. I kind of like wait till like, is there anybody around? Okay, I'm going to read this article.
Like, you find a corner to, like, huddle down in behind, like, a bookshelf or something, and you're just, like, crouched in the corner reading the paper.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how it all ties out to everything. But, yeah,
I'm enjoying it so far. It's been so good so far. I'm waiting for that moment where it's, like, they mention something, and it just connects everything immediately, and you're like, oh, my God, this is it!
I know someone said something like, every podcast, of course, is dancing around because no one wants to spoil anything.
Yeah.
And someone, I think they said something like for sure there's like a picture somewhere that if you know the franchise makes sense, but if you don't, won't matter.
I'm so excited.
But that was just like, they didn't go into any more detail about anything else. They just happened to mention like a picture at one point. But yeah, I'm really interested. There's also some other things about, I forget exactly what he said. I kind of skipped it because it was a podcast I was listening to and they were going on about it. And because I didn't want to hear anymore, I just like skipped like the last 27 minutes of the conversation. It's like, I don't want to hear it because I don't want to accidentally slightly spoil something. Like I did that by mistake where there's a video. That video was on. It was like, watch us play Resident Evil 7 in VR. And I was like, oh, I hadn't seen any footage of anybody doing that yet. So I was like, oh, I'll click on it thinking it's going to be right from the start of the game. I'm like, I'll watch to what I've seen or skip to what I've seen. But then it turns out the video wasn't a video. It was a live feed. So then it instantly dropped me into the middle of a boss fight. So I'm like, oh, that's great. Now I saw this boss. And it's one of those things where, like, it's kind of a soft spoiler because the boss is a character who I knew I would have to face, but they don't necessarily look like they do currently. So it's like, it spoilers like a change. Like, oh, did you fight so-and-so? Or did you fight Freezer? Did you fight Freezer in his second form? It's like one of those kind of situations. Like, damn it. So now I know that there's a weird thing with this person. And because I only saw a few seconds of this footage and I realized, damn it. Mm-hmm. So I clicked out of it quickly. And what sucks is because it was on their website. It was at IGN and it said watch play, but it didn't say live video. But on Facebook, it says live. Or on YouTube, it'll say live. But on their own page, it doesn't say, you know, watch us play live. Because I was on mobile. If I watched it on their actual webpage, it does. But their mobile version doesn't indicate that it's a live video. So, yeah, it really bugged me. I was like, damn it. I just soft-spoiled something for myself. But yeah. So, and I'm interested to see. This is one of those games where sometimes there's games where I'll play and I'll want to get like the best ending, and if I feel like I haven't done whatever might be needed, I'll look up like, okay, what are like a spoiler free, what do I need to do to make sure I get the best ending? but I don't think I'm going to do that for this game. I don't do that often. I mean, it's rare that a game has that option, and traditionally I always know what to do to get a better ending.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's moral choice based, that's easy. But this game, I feel like it's got to be pretty hard to get the perfect ending. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming it'll involve definitely watching the videotapes and then affecting the present and then something else. So, but I'm going to stick with whatever ending I get, and then I'll just watch all the endings. But I didn't realize that Resident Evil 1 had multiple endings. That never occurred to me. I guess I got the perfect ending just naturally. But yeah, I was reading on. It's like, there's multiple endings to Resident Evil 1? And I looked and I was like, I guess it's all about who lives and who dies. And I was like, I never realized it because I got the perfect... I mean, I was a kid and I got the perfect ending just playing it. Like, I guess it wasn't that hard to do. But yeah, it was just weird. I was like, oh, I guess. You know.
Yeah, there's like really simple stipulations and the endings aren't like... crazy different.
No, yeah, it's just like, you know, it's either you and your partner live and Barry Burton lives and then the place explodes, or Burton dies and you and your partner lives, the place explodes, or your partner dies, the place doesn't explode, Tyrant walks out and is free, your partner is trapped in a cell, the tyrant's free, the place doesn't explode. Like, it's all just variants of that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's not major stuff, but I didn't realize that you could screw things up. Granted, the canon ending is that Barry lives anyways, so because he shows up in a 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a... Yeah, I'm curious to see it go along, but man, it's just creepy.
I don't...
The reason I don't like the first person is I dislike... when control is taken over. Like, I don't like if I would just stand still and then an enemy comes behind me and grabs me on the shoulder and spins me around. Like, once control is taken away from me, it's like, that's super creepy. It's like, I don't like that. I mean, and there are moments in the game, like when you hear the knock on the door and then you go down the stairs and it's all dark and Maya's climbing up them, like, that takes control over you once you go halfway down. It's like, that's fine. It's like, because that's scripted, it's supposed to happen. But I don't like the idea of I'm running from something. Or maybe he's not there. Like, at least in Alien Isolation, if those moments that happen, it's like, it's my fault, you know? He's in a vent above me, and he's breathing, and then drool is falling down, and I don't see it for whatever reason, and I go underneath it, he grabs me, that's fine, my mistake. It's end of game. But in this, it's like, oh, man. But
you just never know, like, when something's going to come up behind you.
Yeah.
Or how close something is until you turn around to shoot it, and it's, like, in your face.
Yeah, and I like that, because at first, going back to the virus has to be in whatever's in the chemicals, especially the healing items, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, because it's like, you have an herb, here's a chemical. It's like, you can make a medicine. It's like, or you can make, I can use that same chemical to make ammo. It's like, I'm wondering, what's in this chemical? Like, why does it do this? And I like that if it's applied instantly, because I didn't know you can lose your foot in that one scene when you're getting chased. Because I escaped him just fine. So he didn't... when I watched Jeff's playthrough, like, they failed it, and you cut off your foot, and you put your foot back on and just pour some stuff on it. I was like, I guess it heals quickly, so clearly the virus must be in this stuff. But yeah, it's... because especially when he cuts off that guy's hand, he's like, oh, not again! You done cut off my strong hand again. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I'm sure I'll if I had it, I guess I should shut up the camera and then. But I don't really want to record myself freaking out. But at least with Alien Isolation, it was easy to make a video clip because it was just like every time I got killed, because I didn't kill a whole lot in that game, so it was easy to make a compilation. But this would be like. Every jump scare, it's like, oh, it'll be all the common ones, and usually it'll be like, Jesus Christ. But man, when I scared myself at one point, twice I scared myself by pushing items in the environment, where one time I did it where it was at the very beginning of the game, when you're outside, you find the purse, and then there's a swing, a bench swing, and I didn't realize it was a movable object. So I was trying to see, for some reason when I first played that section, I thought the door was closed when I walked up on the porch, and then I turned around, looked back at it, and then it was open. And I thought, did that door just open on its own? So then I quit and reloaded. And then when I did that, I went back, and then I was trying to see if the door was open or closed by strafing up by the bench and looking at it. And then I bumped into the bench, and it started swinging and creaking, and it freaked me the fuck out because I didn't realize it was movable. And I did the same thing where I was walking around the kitchen in the family room at the dinner table, and I bumped into a chair. It was like super quiet, super quiet, super quiet. All of a sudden I hit the chair and scraped across the floor and fucking freaked me out. I was like, God damn, loud noises. It's like, stop it. But yeah, it's good times. But that's the loud noise stuff. That's why I still have memories of the scariest game, or the biggest jump scares in any game I've ever played is Final Fantasy VII. Because I'm playing it at 2 a.m. in the morning. It's fucking, it's quiet. It's quiet. You know, happy little music. Do-do-do-do-do-do. And all of a sudden,
oh,
random
yeah.
battle. It's like, God damn it. Why do you have to be so fucking loud? It's 2 in the morning. It's like, I hated that shit, man. Random battles in FF7 were the worst because just fucking, whose idea was this? Let's put in a loud static effect. It scares me every goddamn time. I hate that shit. Yeah. All right. Well, we need a secret word.
Let's
see. What was it last time? I think last time it was water. Yep, water. Water was the last one. I guess we can do snow because it's the snowboarding.
I guess snowboarding.
So snow.
Poop.
Snow is a secret word. All right. Cool. Well, hopefully, maybe Izzy will be here next time. He can talk about Resident Evil. I'm sure I'll probably have it done by then. But yeah, we'll see. All right, so I guess that'll wrap it up and do it. So thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, I almost said thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. I was gonna thank you both, and he wasn't even here. Thanks, Izzy, for not being here. Thank you, Zaya. Mm-hmm. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.